Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 1, observing the armies, text number 15. Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadatam Dhananjaya Pondram Damo Mahashankam Vima Karma Vikrodaraha Panchajanyam. The conchal name Panchajanya. Rishikesh. Krishna. The Lord who directs the senses of the devotees. Devadatam. The conchal name Devadatta. Dhananjaya, Arjuna, the winner of wealth. Pandram, the conch named Pandra. Damao, blue. Mahashankam, the terrific conch shell. Bhimakarma, one who performs Herculean tasks. Ripka Udara, the voracious eater, Bhima. Ripka means wolf. One who has a wolf belly. Belly like a wolf. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna blew his conch shell called Panchajanya. Arjuna blew his, the Devadatta, and Bhima, the voracious eater and performer of Herculean tasks, blew his terrific conch shell named Pondra. Purport. Lord Krishna is referred to as Rishikesh. In this verse, because he is the owner of all senses. The living entities are parts and parcels of him. Therefore, the senses of the living entities are also parts and parcels of his senses. The impersonalists cannot account for the senses of the living entities, and therefore they are always anxious to describe all living entities as senseless or impersonal. The Lord, situated in the hearts of all living entities, directs their senses. But he directs in terms of the surrender of the living entity, and in the case of a pure devotee, he directly controls the senses. Here on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the Lord directly controls the transcendental senses of Arjuna. And thus his particular name of Rishikesh. The Lord has different names according to his different activities. For example, his name is Madhusudana because he killed the demon of the name Madhu. His name is Govinda because he gives pleasure to the cows and to the senses. His name is Vasudev because he appears as the son of Vasudev. His name is Devaki Nandana because he accepted Devaki as his mother. His name is Jasoda Nandana because he awarded his childhood pastimes to Jasoda at Vrindavan. His name is Partha Sarathi because he worked as the charioteer of his friend Arjuna. Similarly, his name is Rishikesh because he gave direction to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Arjuna is referred to as Dhananjaya in this verse because he helped his elder brother in fetching wealth when it was required by the king to make expenditures for different sacrifices. Similarly, Bhima is known as Rikodara because he could eat as voraciously as he could perform Herculean tasks, such as killing the demon Hindimba. So the particular type of conch shell blown by the different personalities on the side of the Pandavas, beginning with the lords, are all very encouraging to the fighting soldiers. On the other side, there are no such credits, nor the presence of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Director, nor that of the Goddess of Fortune. So they were predestined to lose the battle, and that was the message announced by the sound of the conch shells. So the text again. Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadatam Dhanam Jaya Pondram Dhammo Mahashankam Bhimakarma Vikodaraha. Lord Krishna blew his conch shell called Panchajanya. Bhima blew his, the Devadatta, and Bhima, the voracious eater and performer of Herculean tasks, blew his terrific conch shell called Pondra. Or Pondra. Actually, I don't remember, Prabhupada, if he gave classes on these verses. If he did, it would be 1966, and probably covered practically a number of them at one time. But there are two points I can understand here. One of them is that everyone is being controlled by Rishikesh. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says in different places, the same principle, such as naiva kinchit karomiti yuktam manyata tatvavit pashan srivan srishang jigran ashnanga chan supan svasan pralapin vishijan grinan umishan umishanapi indriyan yarteshu vartanta iti darya. So, the naiva kinchit, naiva, naiva, not at any time. Kinchit, at any time. Naiva kinchit karo, karo, iti, karomi, iti, karomiti. Am I doing anything? Now, of course, we're doing something. Our flora is not doing anything, but we're doing something. But it's not what we think we're doing. In other words, we think we're moving this body, but actually we're not moving the body. We're desiring that the body be moved in different ways, either under the spiritual energy or the material energy. When we're desiring to serve Krishna, it moves under the spiritual energy, it becomes spiritual, and when we desire something else, and we're moved under the external energy of Krishna. Now we desire, Krishna senses our desire, just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. And since Krishna is the controller of the material nature, he orders the material or the spiritual nature to give us a particular experience. In other words, he manifests through his material or his spiritual energy our the activities that we're experiencing. We may say our activities, but actually they're not our activities. We're responsible for the activities if we're not lined up with Krishna, because then we get the reactions under the modes of nature. But when we actually follow Krishna, his directions, through Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, inspired by the Super Soul within, then Krishna is actually responsible for what happens. Now, how do we know if we're acting under the spiritual energy or the material energy? Well, if we don't know, we're acting under the material energy. Because under the material energy, we're in ignorance. And when we see everything clearly, what Krishna wants us to do, and we agree to do that, that we must be under the spiritual energy. Because Krishna is only revealed by the spiritual energy. In any case, if we desire to serve the orders of Krishna coming down in simple succession, as well as Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, then the result is that we become Krishna conscious, and our activities actually are for the benefit of all living entities, including ourselves. Because they're spiritual. And that's the meaning of Rishikesh. That Rishikesh Krishna, he told Arjuna that Ish Yadahankara Ashitya Yotsi Iti Manyase Vidyaisha Vyavisayaste Prakritis Tvam Niyokshati Yadahankara Ashita, under the spell of false ego, you're declining to act according to my instructions. But compelled by your own nature, you'll be forced to do something all the same. And then, Svabhava jena kundiya nibbada svena karmana kartumni chastyan mohat karishyasya vishopitat. That under illusion you're now declined to act according to my direction, but compelled by the work point of your own nature, you'll act all the same, O son of Kunti. In other words, if we don't follow Krishna's directions, we'll still have to follow material nature's directions. We're never independent. And Ishvara Sarabhutanam Ridesha Arjuna Tishtati Brahmanyan Sarabhutani Yantarudani Maya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all the yantis who are seated as on a machine made of the material nature. So Krishna is the driver. We're simply the passenger. We can ask Krishna to go here or there, and Krishna will, according to what we deserve, oblige us. But, so, still Krishna is a passenger. Still it's his material nature. Still all we can do is desire. If Krishna decides he doesn't want to fulfill our desire, there's no way it's going to be fulfilled, because we're not really doing anything except for desiring. But our desire is very important, because we can desire to serve Krishna, or we can desire to serve our illusory conception of what we're supposed to be doing. Under the bodily conception of life, under the mental conception of life, under the false ego conception of life, material nature will provide us with so many desires, as Prabhupada writes. Desire is a subtle form of conditioning for the soul. So what we think is ourselves, because often the devotees say, oh, I can't, it's my nature, it's my desire, I can't deny it. Well, it's not us, it's not our desire. It's the material nature's desire. We're simply dovetailing our desires with those desires. Again, the same example is there. We run up to a tree and grab the tree and say, let me go. Let me go. And someone walks by and says, sir, the tree is not holding you. You're holding on to the tree. You just let the tree go and you'll be all right. No, let me go. Tell him to let me go. No, just let go of the tree. It's all right. Hey, you. You and your philosophy. Get someone to help me. So due to our conditioned nature and our strong attachment, we become attached to the material energy. We can't imagine living without a material body. What would I do? What would be my identity? And if I'm 1/10,000th size, tip of hair in size, my God, I'd rather be in a big illusion than an insignificant nothing. We conceive that when I become liberated, I'll be just floating around somewhere. No one will even notice me, I'm so tiny. Even they step on me, they won't even see me. Ouch! Ow! Everyone's just stepping on me. Can't you see me? No. Help! So we're very, very tiny in the material world, and we have a very big false ego, and we'd rather be an illusion than be in reality, because we have no conception or experience what actually reality is like. If we prefer to suffer in the material world than be blissful in the spiritual world. Because we have no idea that this, actually the spiritual consciousness is blissful. Sanana Bhakti is there in order to give us an opportunity to taste some of the happiness of Krishna consciousness. To, as Krishna says, Atachi Tam Samadhatum, the sakshnosni maistiram abhyasena yogena tatom am ischantim dinancha. If you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulations of bhakti yoga, and this way try to develop the desire to obtain me. In other words, that's what we're trying to develop, is the desire to obtain Krishna. If we don't feel ourselves madly in love with Krishna, it's because we don't have any desire to obtain Krishna, and therefore Krishna doesn't reveal himself, and therefore we don't really know what Krishna is factually like. We don't have that much experience of Krishna. We have a conception of Krishna, and indeed Krishna comes in different forms, as the deities, as the pictures, and the books, and everything. And we taste a little, that's why we're here, but we're not really tasting the full experience of Krishna. But we have to practice, and the idea of practicing is to actually develop some feeling to obtain Krishna. In the spiritual world, people aren't there because they have to be there. That they were homeless in the material world. Some welfare truck came by this from the spiritual world. We jumped in. We got to the spiritual world. We don't know what to do there. Because we don't really, but at least we have a home. Now, people are there because they want to be there. And they have an overwhelming desire to serve Krishna. And we won't go there unless we have that same overwhelming desire to serve Krishna. Because we'd be rather out of place. Krishna is coming back from the herding the cows in the pasture. Everyone's rushing out to see Krishna. And we're wondering what's on television. We don't go out to see Krishna. We're too busy playing video games back in our Chintamani Palace. We'd be quite out of place there. Where's that gopi? She's supposed to be serving me. Oh, she's out there, you know, playing hopscotch with one of the other gopis. She forgot about serving you. So everything there is feeling the tremendous enthusiasm to serve Krishna, loving enthusiasm, is what Krishna appreciates. That's what makes everything exciting. Otherwise, it would be quite boring. People get bored with Krishna, devotees get bored with Krishna consciousness because it's no longer a challenge. There's nothing challenging. It's just the same old thing every day. Yesterday I'll chant 16 rounds. Yesterday I chanted 16 rounds. Tomorrow I'll chant 16 rounds. I don't really want to chant 16 rounds. I don't know why I'm doing it. I made some promise to someone. I can't even remember his name. And there's four regular principles I got to follow. I don't really want to follow any of them, but it's just, you know, I go to the programs and they talk about the same thing. I'm not this body. Krishna's God. Again and again. I already know the whole philosophy. I get to sit up there and tell everyone they're not their body also. So it becomes boring. There's no feeling for Krishna. There's no feeling of wanting to please Krishna. There's no experience of Krishna. And therefore it all becomes very dull. Because we may be doing mechanically some service, but it's not for Krishna. Because we don't really believe that much in Krishna. And therefore we forget why we came here in the first place. The material nature starts looking very attractive. And maybe there's really some enjoyment I missed. And therefore, let me try one more time. So this is the nature of illusion. She's always inviting us, why are you wasting your time trying to become Krishna conscious? Only one out of a million becomes Krishna conscious. You were never very lucky. You never won any lottery. One out of a million, ours are too great. Give it up. So the mind will always tell us that. Yogas chalati manasa. Give it one more try. See how happy the people are out there. It's spring. It's almost spring. It's getting warmer. You can enjoy. You just didn't know how to do it before. But you've been a devotee long enough, now you know how to enjoy. Krishna has given you so much intelligence. So, one has to become, learn how to become dependent on Krishna. In other words, we have to do something that's a little challenging, that forces us to rely upon Krishna. Otherwise, if our whole life is just making kiwiks, and we don't really know why we're doing it. And just we're just a part of a factory line, a factory worker making kiwiks for someone called Krishna. And he doesn't pay us anything. We just get a little halava. Then we might give it up after some time. Get a better paying kiwik job. We have to take shelter of Hrishikesh, we have to take shelter of Krishna. And the more we do that, then the more Krishna can reciprocate with us. To develop the enthusiasm that Krishna consciousness is meant for. loving enthusiasm. That's what is always on the increase in the spiritual world. Krishna is always becoming more lovingly enthusiastic, and all the devotees there are ever more anxious to please Krishna, and Krishna is ever more anxious to please his devotees. And the second thing is here is called something about Sarasaki and Mantra Upasana. So Mantra Upasana means that generally the knowledge of Krishna consciousness presented to us as mantras. We have so many mantras. Chintamani Prakarasadma Sukalpa Vriksha. For instance, the Chintamani prayers. Or even these very Bhagavad Gita's mantras. Things that will deliver our mind. And we're learning how to put our minds on the mantra so it can be delivered. Often we take the mantra as some ordinary vibration, and therefore we just skip over, we even read the books, and at the end of reading the book, someone asks me, what did you just read? And we can't remember which book I read. Just speak of what I read. Can you tell me something about the paragraph? You know, which chapter did you read? What's the name of the chapter? Or bewildered, what? I can't remember the name of the book. How can I remember the chapter? So the mantra will only be as effective as we put our minds into it, so it can be delivered. So one thing is that at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna talks something about getting free from delusion and regaining his memory. So that means, amongst other things, is that unless we hear with attention, so it is hear with attention, because that's the last thing Krishna asks, have you been listening? And of course everyone thinks they're listening. As long as their eyes are open, they're not asleep, I must be listening. But what does actually listening mean? So, kachit ahi tachutam parata, twayai ka grena chetasa, kachit agana samoha, pranatasthe dhananjaya. Ekaga, eka, with one-pointed attention, ekagram, with one-pointed attention, which means our distracted mind, which is hankering for what we don't have and lamenting over what we've lost, we're ignoring it. It doesn't exist when we're listening attentively. Then, that's only the beginning. Because it's not just enough to listen attentively. We, just like devotees, when they used to chant japa, they used to hit, in the beginning, of course maybe they still do it, in order to listen attentively, they used to hit their head against the wall. Because the idea is if you hit your head against the wall when you're chanting, it's so painful that you're not going to be able to think about the past or the future. You're in so much pain, you got to think about the present while you're chanting Hare Krishna. Not a good idea, though, because if everyone did it, we'd have to spend so much money repairing the walls here. So ekagram, to listen with one point of attention, and what should be the result is that kachit agana, that our ignorance, we should actually learn something. It's not that we're just listening to just, you know, we got to do something, so I won't do it. In order to not do something naughty, I'll read the Bhagavad Gita or something. No, we're listening to actually have our, to learn something, have our ignorance dispelled. Kachit agana samoha, and get our complete illusion dispelled. To learn how to act in this world so that we realize Krishna and our spiritual identity. That's the idea of listening. And the proof that we've actually listened, is that our memory of reality is regained and our delusion goes away. In other words, lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, madness, they go away. And we, our delusion of misidentifying ourselves with these gross and subtle bodies goes away. And then we actually realize who we are again. We realize our spiritual identity. So that's the result of proper hearing. We wake up. So mantra upasana means we have to take the mantra like Chintamani Prakara Sadmaisu Kalpa Vriksha and listen to it, and eventually we have to think about what it's actually saying. It's not, you know, it's nice music. Chintamani. It's not dance music. Although it might be dance music. We're actually trying to listen to it and visualize it, experience it. Our memory and the spiritual state of consciousness will give us the ability to actually remember Krishna, Chintamani, that the spiritual world is made at Chintamani, Prakara, Sadma, Kalpa Vriksha, and see the trees and smell the trees and everything. Utilize our spiritual senses to visualize and experience what's being said. So that's called mantra, that's what the mantra is. And then sarasaki is when we're actually there, remembering continuously Krishna's pastimes, and we're actually there in the pastime. It's continuous remembrance. So that's our objective. To deepen our absorption in our hearing, so we're actually experiencing what we're hearing, and then coming to the point of entering into those pastimes ourselves, and therefore remember, eventually waking up to who we are and participating in our eternal pastimes with Krishna. So Krishna has so many different names according to his pastimes. And when we hear the name of, for instance, Yasoda Nandana, hopefully that will help us remember Krishna as a blackish cowherd boy with a peacock feather, Mother Yasoda, for instance. We can remember there's some painting of Krishna with a little calf in front of him rushing to see Mother Yasoda after coming back from herding the cows, and the cowherd boys are in the background. Some of the cowherd boys are watching Krishna. There's a little bird in the sky, and then there's Srimati Radharani with two other gopis waiting on the Chintamani Palace holding some offerings for Krishna. So hopefully we can remember something. When we hear the name of Yasoda Nandana, then that's called Krishna consciousness. And we read Prabhupada's books and we absorb our minds in the paintings or the activities and we serve Krishna, then it's much more likely. Otherwise, we know we hear so many sound vibrations and they remind us of so many things, but not necessarily Krishna consciousness. As the example is given, I've told this story many times, but I think I told it recently, that we can hear the name of Radha and remember something other than Srimati Radharani. For instance, that lady whose goat died and who was very sad, her goat was named Radha. But she went to the Bhagavad Saptaha, and there she was hearing about Radha and Krishna for 7 days, remembering her dead goat. Tears were constantly flowing from her eyes as she looked at the speaker and saw his beard, which reminded her of Radha's beard, and cried continuously for 7 days. So at the end of the 7 days, the speaker came and offered full dandavats before her, saying, "Oh great devotee of Radha, please bless me." She said, "Actually, I don't even know who you're talking about, Radha. Whenever you say the word Radha, I remember my goat who died. And your beard looked exactly like Radha's beard. So whenever I look at you, I remember my dead goat, and it brings tears to my eyes." So that kind of remembrance won't help us. That's very dangerous. I wouldn't name my goat Radha. Remember your dead goat at the time of death. Join her in Leela. So we have to be careful. These sounds that we're hearing, they bring so many memories into our consciousness. And if the memories, we have the wrong memory at the time of leaving this body, that's where we go. that we have to practice hearing about Krishna. And in the spiritual world, in these spiritual memories, the enthusiasm comes from the service. So we also have to engage in service. And the more we hear and the more we engage in service with a proper enthusiastic attitude, the more we become eligible to actually enter into the sound, perceive the sound as it really is, and enter into that sound vibration and experience Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
It's just not the question that I would like to, just in the same in my news group.
Yeah. Namaskaram. It's just not the question I would like to ask. It's just the gesture of love and respect that I would like to present this in my music.
No, I think this is time for questions.
Okay.
Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for this example about Rishikesha being the Lord of the senses, and if you don't know if the inspiration is coming from Krishna or from Maya, then it's from, or from matter, then it's from matter, because if you don't know, that's ignorance.
Yeah.
It's quite clear. Still, it seems that sometimes struggling devotees are trying to serve Krishna and surrender to Krishna, and sometimes also are confused about their inspiration and lack of enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness. So if a struggling devotee is has to struggle to surrender to Krishna and to serve Krishna, how can he understand that this guideline or instruction to serve comes from Krishna? Because he will say, I don't know, I'm not convinced, so it must be coming from matter, so I should go and enjoy more or something.
Yeah, well, if you don't know what Krishna wants you to do, you don't even know what Krishna's representatives are asking you to do on behalf of Krishna, then that's where you're going to wind up. Back in matter and enjoying. We're not getting any taste from Krishna consciousness. We'll have to try to get some taste from somewhere. Now, Krishna consciousness is called Buddhi Yoga. We have to develop our intelligence. So unless we regularly hear about Krishna, especially in the association of devotees, it's just inevitable we'll go back to try to enjoy the material energy again. The history of our movement is a history is so many devotees who came, they got something from it, whatever they wanted, and then they decided they don't really need the association of devotees anymore. They've learned enough, and they disappear. So struggling devotees, as long as they keep on struggling, they'll make some progress. But as soon as they start thinking that they don't really have to struggle anymore, that's the end of it. They already figured it all out. They got whatever they wanted. Is that right?
So Ajamila, at the time of his death, was calling out the name of his youngest son, Narayan. So if the Mataji in the story you told us would at the time of death call out the name of her goat, Radha, would it still have the same effect of liberating her?
Yeah, she'd become a goat. Nice goat, though. No, and as for, according to our acharyas, when Ajamiya was calling out the name of Narayan, he remembered his previous service to Narayan. Therefore, he wasn't just calling for the son Narayan. He actually began to call for the real Narayan, the actual Narayan. Now, unless she was a devotee, serving Shrimati Radharani, and she just happened to name her goat Radha, which wasn't the case in this, then she'd become a goat. Things have an association. In other words, every object has, every word has an object that associates with it. And every object has some words that associate with it. So some word associates with the wrong, with another object, that's the object that actually the word, that's the object that you're going to get. Now there are spiritual words and there are spiritual objects. And there are spiritual words which people associate with material objects, but that's what they get, is the material object, not the spiritual one. There's something called namabhas, but that's generally quite a slow process. And besides that, namabhas doesn't really bring one to the spiritual level of consciousness. At best, it brings one to liberation. But it's not an ordinary, it's not just ordinary chanting of namabhas generally doesn't automatically give you liberation. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantharaj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.